Good afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Monday, to get you through another crazy, wild, maddening day of news that we're going to figure out together live on the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH, streaming on all those smart speakers like Amazon Echo and Google Home. We got a lot to get to. We only have 2 hours left to do it. Seattle gas prices are up. Washington gas prices are up. That's so weird. Will we hear from Joe Biden, who's been bragging about them going down? A drone tried to stop the Seahawks from suffering a humiliating loss. Unfortunately, the drone failed as much as Geno did. It's true. Give me a look for. A Sumner official allegedly sends a racist meme. Did he? What's going on? We'll dive into those stories and so much more this hour of the Jason Rand Show, brought to you by 3010, weightlossforlife.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
So gas prices are up again. If you're listening to me, you are likely suffering from an increase in gas prices. Como says Seattle had an average cost of $4.90 per gallon. That was at least as of yesterday. That's an 11.9-cent rise since last week. That's 2.5 cents a gallon cheaper, though, than it was a month ago. So it's still coming down. It went down and then it got back up again, but not quite as bad as it was last month. Washington, on average, is $4.73 a gallon. That's up 16.2 cents from last week. You know, we don't have to do the 0.2 thing anymore. Just say 16, right? I mean, let's stop this nonsense. Tacoma is $4.67. That's up 20 cents. It's really 20.6, but I decided to follow my own advice. And then over in Yakima, $4.63 per gallon. That's up almost 29 cents since last month. Now, nationally, gas is $3.67 a gallon on average. Now, why is this happening? Well, a couple reasons. Number one, there's some refinery disruptions that occurred that impacted the amount of oil on the market. So it impacted the supply. Now, there's been a slight increase in demand because the summer travel season didn't quite end as early as people thought it would. That was part of the reason why we saw so many more people than expected over at SeaTac a couple weeks ago. So those are the reasons behind it. Now, it's possible that Tropical Storm Ian causes some additional refinery issues, though apparently it's supposed to be limited. So we'll see where things end up. But it is a basic supply-demand scenario. Now, it's funny because Joe Biden spoke and bragged yet again. He wants to take credit for gas prices going down, even though he's to blame for gas prices going up. And when we say gas prices go down, it's still way more expensive than it was under President Trump. But let's listen to Joe Biden brag.
And in 41 states, plus the District of Columbia, the average gasoline price is less than $2.99.
That's not true. That is 100% categorically untrue. I have no idea where he got that number from. I frankly don't know what number he means, assuming he misspoke. But every single state in this country has gas over $3 on average. Every single state. The cheapest is in Mississippi. It's at $3.07. That's the cheapest. The highest is in California at $5.79. By the way, we are the 45th highest. Or no, 45th highest? No, 45th lowest. We're the 5th highest. There we go.
Okay, I was going to say, there's no way.
We are the 5th highest in the entire state. Where did he get under $3? Now, hold on. In fairness, I did not look up D.C., and it's possible that they're paying you to get gas, and that brings the average down. That's possible. It's unlikely, but it is technically possible. We're paying you $15 a gallon to get gas. That's how you would lower the average.
Well, back in his day, it didn't cost more than a nickel for a gallon of gas.
And I had to walk 30 miles in the snow to get to school. We got it. It's kind of ludicrous. That's why Newt Gingrich and others are calling him out.
Biden the other day was totally false in claiming the price of gasoline. He used a number that doesn't exist and has not existed anywhere in America since he's been president. So you have to assume the White House is deluded and sitting around in a fantasy world. But I think as real Americans face crime in the street, They face prices at the gas station, prices at the grocery store, and they're going to start facing layoffs as the Federal Reserve keeps raising interest rates. I just think in the end they go in and say this ain't working, and they vote against the Democrats, and right. that means they vote Republican.
Fingers crossed. But again, if this was intended to confuse people or lie to people, it's a bad lie because they know. You know how much gas costs. You know. No, you're not going to go to the gas station and all of a sudden say, oh, no, it is $2. You know exactly how much it costs. So whether you're listening in, you know, central Washington, eastern, wherever it is, you know it's more than $3. I can't even tell what number he means because he just says 41 states. I don't know which 41 he's pulling from. I'm assuming the lowest 41, but that also, number that one, it doesn't get to $2.99, but I don't know what the number could have been. Does he mean $3.99? That doesn't make sense either.
$3.99 would even be.
It was worse. No, $3.99 is higher than the national average because the national average is $3.67.
Well, I would be happy to pay $3.99.
Well, yeah, in Washington, of course, you would love to pay that. So I don't even. Usually, I can at least say I think this is what he meant. This was misspeaking. I think this was actually just making it up because you thought it would help you politically, which doesn't seem to be the smartest move. Not the smartest move either is trying to take on the IRS yourself because they continue to be aggressive. They're increasing the number of officers in Washington state, so don't take them on without the help of Greg Nunn over at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. He's our local tax expert and advocate. He will help. N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
There must have been someone near Lumen who was looking at the score and looking at the performance of the Seahawks and said, okay, I'm gonna have to intervene here. I'm gonna bring my drone and cause a total stoppage of the game, and maybe that will just lead to the game being canceled and we don't have to take the L.
Official timeout, security to clear the field, and we understand we're getting word that there was some type of drone over the field that should not have been there, was not cleared.
Do they think it's a weaponized drone? What do they think is in the drone? Nukes? Taking them off the field isn't going to help.
They didn't go
into the locker room.
No.
They just went off the field.
So. They did nothing.
What was the point? I don't understand.
To be there.
This happened in the this happened with the Stanford Washington game last night. I wonder if it's the same person. I mean,
it wasn't.
It's not funny, but like,
no, it's a little funny.
What do you do?
You clear the field. You call a timeout. Make sure.
Yeah.
Everybody.
But you intercept.
You shoot it down, dummy. Oh, we don't like guns in this state.
Drone?
It's an official timeout with a drone over the field. Players have cleared the field. We'll have more in a moment.
He didn't have anything. I don't even know what. I mean, clearly the drone went away. There was no real answer, at least that I've seen. Have you seen an answer? You were there.
I was. They didn't say anything about this over the PA system. They were playing pump-up music. And players were dancing on the sideline. I only knew it was a drone because you texted me.
Yeah.
That's the only
reason
I
asked you to do.
Get a video.
Did you?
No, because I couldn't see it.
What? Seriously, it must have been high. So here's the only thing I can think of other than weaponized drones. The ball could hit it, I guess, but it wasn't that low. Or I guess it could just fall out of the sky, but it could still fall and hit the players on the sideline. That's what I just don't understand.
I don't know.
I like my idea, which was, or my theory, it was just trying to cancel the game so that we wouldn't suffer a humiliating loss. It failed at that. Geno Smith reminds everybody why.
You think that was humiliating?
Yeah. Yeah. Weren't we supposed to win?
I mean,
yes, we were supposed to win.
We're favored by a point.
We were supposed to win. They played awful again. It wasn't quite as bad as the last game. They were better. And obviously, I want them to win. I think it's good for the city. I think it's good for this building because we're partners with them on our two sister stations. I want them to do well. But I keep listening to Brian Suits talk about Geno Smith. And he says he's always been like this. He overthrows the ball. He's not good. And you keep wondering if he's going to get any better, and he didn't. But the good news is at least the Mariners won like 9-0 or something. Wait, hold. They blew that?
Yeah.
They lost 13-12?
Yeah.
How'd that happen? Are they trying to not make the playoffs? Because it kind of feels like based on their position, Oof. Where everyone else is, you have to work to not make the playoffs at this point.
And boy, we are working.
is this, I don't, is this just bad luck? Is this choking under pressure? Is this just the other team happens to be playing better? I don't know if there's an answer.
There's a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
There's a lot of choking.
You think it is choking?
Some of it.
Like you get into your head a little bit too much.
Yeah. In the league, we're playing in empty stadiums on the road. I think we play well in a pumped up environment, mm-hmm. you know, at home. They've actually, people have been going to the games
but
in Seattle.
Losing.
Well, they've won. They played pretty well at home. This road trip has been brutal. But I think coming back home, they'll figure it out. Mm-hmm.
What's the damage at this point? Are they still playoff bound?
Still, they're 4 games up on Baltimore with like 10 games left. So even with the colossal failure of the last week, it would take that again mm-hmm. and some other bad luck for them to miss the playoffs.
But you don't want to be put in a position where luck will drive it. You want to own this. So
yeah.
Just win. So if they win the next 6 games or 4 games or whatever, is that what they would need to do?
Yeah, they need a combination of either 7 wins or 7 Baltimore losses. You know, 3 Mariners wins, mm-hmm. 4 Baltimore losses, something like that.
That seems doable. How are they doing?
Baltimore, I mean, they're playing well. So that's why it's like a little dicey. It's dicey, but still confident.
It's going to be the luck of Seattle, man.
Well, yeah.
We've just been
here before. Everybody's been here before.
This is the first. And you know what is weird? Last year, I remember everyone feeling the momentum that they were going to make the playoffs, and I felt the energy in a way that I didn't feel in the past because I'm not tied to the team. I don't watch the games or anything, and I don't pay that close attention. I don't feel that energy at all this time, and they're closer now than they've been. I think it's 2, 3 divided by 12 times pi, a billion years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, last year was kind of an underdog story. This year, we actually
had there was
talent.
Momentum, but I felt something. I don't feel that this year. And I wonder if it's because everyone was let down last year. They're just like waiting for the other shoe to drop and they don't want to jinx it, maybe. Is that it? They don't want to jinx going into the playoffs?
I think there's been a pretty good buzz.
Really?
I think you don't have your eyes open.
Oh, shut up. You don't have your eyes open, stupid. Why don't you watch yourself? I'm the talent here. You don't tell me on my eyes. I honestly haven't felt anything. I have a story up. We talked about it a lot last week. The Sounders, currently in an international break. I think they play on Tuesday. One of their players, Javier Arriaga, he had the audacity to post a comic on his personal Instagram account that decried the media's influence on kids over the topic of gender identity. And as a result, he is being sent to a form of re-education camp because the coach, as he said last week, he recognizes that Arriaga has the wrong opinion. Let that sink for a moment. And I was thinking more about this over the weekend, and I've got all the video up at KTTH.com. And I got to be honest, I was getting more upset and more upset and more upset every single time I thought about the story. And as I put my thoughts to paper, I was just seething. I was seething on so many levels because it is such a remarkable abuse of power that the coach and this team are using to effectively silence Arriaga. That is the intent. When you are in a position where you are the boss, where you determine whether or not someone's going to be a starter, and you're out there throwing your player under the bus because he doesn't have the quote-unquote right opinion, as determined by you, it is, from his perspective, it has to be a little bit confusing and maybe even a little bit terrifying. Because this is a guy who didn't think he was doing anything wrong because he didn't do anything wrong. All of a sudden, finding himself in a bit of controversy where you've got players who pretended to be fans and now they're saying, oh, we got to get rid of him. They call it the Javi Hive. They're like, no, I'm not a member of the Javi Hive anymore. I'm out. Can't do it. That means you weren't truly a fan to begin with. And I guess I don't understand why someone who has a mainstream political position that he expresses in his own life, his personal life, how that bears any sort of impact on your life. Like I understand why someone might say, I don't agree with that and I'm very passionate about this issue, so I can't be a fan anymore. Okay. But the call for him to be fired is so bizarre to me. And I saw some people trying to throw this back in my face saying, oh, well, look, all the conservatives all of a sudden are mad about Colin Kaepernick. First of all, horrible example, unless you're telling me that you then support Arriaga, because you don't. You can't support, in your view, you can't support Kaepernick, but not Arriaga. Those are two incompatible positions from your logic. But for my logic, it's actually really simple. And I said this on the air multiple times. Go check the tape, or some of you remember. I have no problem with Colin Kaepernick being a rotten human being and holding dumpster fire views outside of his job. I get why, if the Sounders said to the players, we don't want any political positions expressed at all on the field or off the field. If that was their position, okay, I would still think that they're wrong to chide his personal position, but at least I would understand why they're so upset or why they would call him out. They allow over the Sounders, number one, they allow on field and off field political positions to be expressed all the time because they are, for the most part, positions that folks on the left hold. Go look at the goalkeeper, Stephen Fry's Twitter account when Roe v. Wade was overturned. He's retweeting memes of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which is ironic because she was not a fan of Roe v. Wade as a legal decision, but God forbid he actually do any of the research. But they do that all the time. They wore BLM t-shirts on the pitch. That's okay, but because one guy holds a position that he expressed while they're on an international break on his personal Instagram account, and that's just one step too far. I would understand the criticism if he did it on the field. Except they allow political positions on the field all the time in the MLS. The problem here is he has the quote-unquote wrong position because it's one that is shared by a lot of conservatives. But I'll tell you this. I think a lot of people, regardless of political positions, on this issue of gender identity and claiming that there are 10,000 different genders and, hey, little Tommy, you can be a girl if you want, telling that to a seven-year-old, I don't think people who are Democrats, who vote Democrat or who are independents, think any different than folks who vote Republican. There are the activists pushing them aside. I think your average person says, no, I'm actually kind of with Javier on this one. That comic made sense to me. I also think it's going a little bit too far. I'm super supportive of the LGBTQ community. If my kid was gay, I'd be okay with it. But let's relax a little bit on the seven-year-olds being taught that they can wear a dress because if they feel like a woman, then they are. I think most people agree with him, not the team. And so I thought about how no one is standing up for Arriaga. No one. This is the only show that's doing it. And this is a guy who, again, English isn't his first language. He probably doesn't even quite understand the magnitude of some of the woke culture in this country. It's remarkable to me that no one is standing up for him. No one. And by the way, the Seattle Times covers this story. It says, a purported transphobic meme. It wasn't transphobic, dummies. It wasn't transphobic. Just say you disagree with the political position. That's okay. That's totally subjective. You can disagree with the political position. But to say that because you disagree, that person is wrong and must be canceled if not re-educated is just so condescending. And let's not forget that they do this at the same time that they've now reworded or renamed Hispanic Heritage Month to Latinx Heritage Month. A bunch of white people, privileged white people from the Sounders, decided to change Hispanic Heritage Month to Latinx, which, by the way, is being done because white progressive Americans don't like the fact that some language, like Spanish, is gendered. So you are now changing their language to a non-gendered term. So white people who hate colonization and whatnot, they're the ones who are saying we can't say any of the gendered language for folks. It's not going to be Latino, it's just going to be Latinx. Okay, white person who's changing their language, they don't seem to see that as a huge bit of hypocrisy or a double standard. But yeah, please tell me again how you support people who are Latinx while telling the Ecuadorian as a white coach, oh, we're going to have a conversation with you to make sure you hold the right position. It's so absurd to me. You can go on and read my story over at KTTH.com, KTTH.com, or text the keyword RANTS, RANTZ, to 1-800-465-8770. We'll real quickly find out what else is trending.
What's trending? It's sort of breaking news.
So it's happening right now, and I'm looking at a live feed, but it's on mute, so I don't know if it actually happened. But NASA is sending a spacecraft to blow up a small asteroid that is apparently not coming near us to a point of potential danger, but they want to show proof of concept that maybe if in the future we do have an asteroid coming our way, we could send a ship to it rather than get, you know, oil miners and train them within 24 hours to become world-class astronauts. We don't have to send them to the moon or to the asteroid. We can just send an unmanned rocket ship. I don't know how it's going to go. Obviously, hope fingers crossed. Can I just say something? Not that I'm conspiratorial at all.
Who's going to stop you from saying something?
It is my show. I think it's totally coming for us. And if this fails, we're all going to die. There, I said it. Because you can't hide this. You can't hide this from people. At some point, you're going to see a big asteroid in the air. I'm willing to bet. Because if I thought it was going to come for us and this was the end of times, I wouldn't announce end of times because it would cause total chaos. It would cause more autonomous zones. So I would just say, oh, no, no, don't worry. It's all good. We're just going to send this rocket ship. We're testing it. Don't worry. We're just going to test it. And this was a good opportunity. I don't know if I believe that. I think I would say that if it was legit. Wouldn't you say that if it was legit and this was your last-ditch effort to save us all?
That's an interesting take. I think spreading mass panic, probably not the play. I don't know.
Exactly. That's my point. If this were truly a threat, I don't expect that they would be honest with us. And by the way, that's okay. I don't want you to be honest. If we're truly going to die because of it, I don't need to say I love you to anyone. I don't love anyone. I'm fine. So tell your final words in a non-dramatic way to your family and friends if you want before this thing's supposed to hit. It was supposed to hit at 4:15. It's 4:24. I still can't tell if it hit it. Who cares? Just hit us. I'm done. Okay, you can play the music now. It says if you have a high quality and large enough screen, you can see the small, it's called Dimorphos, in orbit around Didymos. Yeah. I knew that. I want to tell that to you guys. It is kind of cool.
I like your conspiracy theory.
It's possible we'll all be dead in 10 minutes.
Yeah, you're gonna. You might not even get to your Tucker.
No, they just updated it. It said DART is the name of the stupid chip. Made contact with the asteroid. NASA destroyed a spacecraft on Monday evening, but engineers guiding the robotic probe were not disappointed. They cheered. Their mission was a resounding success. But if it wasn't a success, they would tell us it was a resounding success, not to freak us out. Now I'm concerned.
Oh, gosh.
I love everyone. Before we all die, make sure you purchase your tickets to the Freedom Series. Go to KTTH.com. You've been listening to What's Trending, brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Gutters.
Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local. Brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services, online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. We start in Sumner, where a public government affairs manager for the Secretary of State, as well as a city council member in Sumner, his name is Patrick Reed. He apparently sent out an email that had an offensive joke meme in it of a white trash dude with the text, "If they're in court, they're guilty, especially if they're black or Mexican." Leftists are ticked off he didn't say BIPOC. That's what they're mad about. I'm kidding. You can tell why some people are mad. This email was sent back in August. We found out about it last week because Cairo 7 TV had done some public disclosure request after they got a tip from someone who's pretending to be just gutted and traumatized by the meme joke. And that's, I think, what it is, right? I mean, can we all just be honest and say it's clearly a joke? You might not like the joke. You might think it's inappropriate. Fine. But it is still a joke, and the context of this was someone emailed him to say that he was excused from jury duty, and that's when he responded with this meme. Jake Chapman over at Cairo 7 TV went over to his house at one point in the last few days because we're going to pretend that it's really that big of a deal, which I just kind of love.
We've called his office. We've emailed him. We have also gone to his home, knocked on his door, but no luck so far. And for background purposes, he's served his current seat with the Secretary of State's office since 2017. Now, we're here in Sumner, and we've shown people here his email exchange.
Of which, by the way, not a single person in all of Sumner or Washington State would have seen.
Nobody knew who this guy was.
He was like, oh, very yeah, we obvious. Have a council. Yeah, okay.
And they tell us that, quite frankly, has no place here in Sumner. Or anywhere.
Or anywhere! How dare they! We do not allow for politically incorrect jokes. Nowhere, no how. And by the way, the people he spoke to, God love him, none of whom seemed all that concerned about. Like, they were kind of wishy-washy. No one was heated over it. They said, frankly, they never want to see this person again.
We're human beings, so we're all the same.
Well, but he just said that everyone was all crazy upset. Continue. His name is Waldo. Right. We found him.
So we have to be really... Let's just go back to, like, loving people and... Like,
would you consider it a racist comment?
Well, from the sound of it, yes.
Oh, I didn't actually look at it, but the way that you're telling it to me leads me to believe that it's racist. Here's another resident or few.
Should be an option. Consider not voting for him when he's up for a re-election.
That's sad, you know, of course. It's concerning.
Yeah, it seems like they're really heated about this. Thank you for that top-notch journalisming. It sounds better as a meme when you say journalisming. It's hard to say. So the guy, the council member, posted something on Facebook to explain what happened. He said in his post, on August 9th, I replied to an email at work and selected the wrong meme from search results. In a rush, I copied and pasted an image without verifying what I was sending. He said, the next day after a meeting with HR, I became aware of my horribly offensive mistake. In no way do I agree with the sentiment of that meme. You're no kidding. It's a meme joke. I know you don't. I get the joke. I get it.
I can't believe he apologized like that. I clicked on the wrong thing.
Yeah, and I don't
That's
even
like
believe that.
A third grader would apologize
Why
like that.
Why not just come out and say, I made an offensive joke, but that was it. The whole point was to mock the white trash guy in the meme. Because all white people are racist. That would have been deemed appropriate by woke people. I'm deeply sorry for my mistake. My first reaction was to reach out to those that received the email to apologize. But by that time, it was part of a confidential HR investigation not to be discussed. Oh, shut up. I continue to fully cooperate with HR throughout this investigation. I hope that this can be accepted for being the horrible mistake that it was. It was funny because Jake Chapman over at Cairo 7 TV, in his report, he was all like, we're not even sure it's an official investigation. People want answers. No one wants answers. Just stop. The one person who gave it to you, I don't know if this is a story. This is a guy who no one's ever heard of, including on the Sumner City Council. They're all like, oh, yeah, I guess this guy is on with us. He's a colleague. Okay. I have no... I'm assuming that he's a Democrat based on how he talks, right? And so I don't care as a conservative. I guess I can use this as a gotcha, but I'm not going to because I just don't care. I don't think anyone truly actually cares about this. They see it for what it was. It was a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke!
Well, now he's going to have to come out and apologize for his apology and said he copy-pasted the wrong apology from his notes app. And...
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, whatever. Shut up. I'm done. I kind of want him to just resign because he apologized. He should have just said, you know what? Cares? It was a private joke. Mind your own business. Get away from
you
me.
You can't say that. You can't come out and say what the situation is.
I'd
you know that.
Him. I'd vote for him for president.
You'd
if
move
he came
to
out
Sumner
and said
and vote
that
for him?
In a second. I don't even remember his name, and I would vote for him in a heartbeat. I would just be like, well, it's not Joe Biden. What is it? Patrick something?
Reed. Not the golfer, though.
Believe me, I didn't think it was the golfer. No.
Well, maybe somebody never else heard does. We have listeners. Yeah. We're talking to someone.
The maybe. Car theft problem is so bad in Pierce County that even a patrol car finds itself not immune to the crisis. Some dude stole an unlocked patrol car, drove it on I-5 before getting arrested. The Lakewood PD was, I guess, on this call. They got a call for a guy who was having a mental health crisis. And it turns out the guy who was having a mental health crisis allegedly stole the car. The Tacoma News Tribune reports, according to the police, the 34-year-old suspect drove it from his residential neighborhood to I-5 North. He pulled up pretty quickly, pulled over pretty quickly, because they were only driving for about 5 minutes. So at least he did what... Technically, he didn't have to do, which was just pull over. He could have just sped away, I guess, under the law. He was arrested and booked. No damage to the patrol car. Okay. Finally, I love this story more than anything. And I hope I'm getting it right because it's based on a King 5 story. And they're the worst. Amtrak just reopened their route between Washington and Canada, specifically Vancouver, British Columbia. You've got stops in Edmonds, Everett, Stanwood, Mount Vernon, Bellingham. So in other words, way faster to drive depending on how the border is. Until the 30th, you have to show proof of vaccine, because that's on the 30th or after, there's no risk whatsoever. But right now, it's out of control to go into Canada. Here's my favorite part of the story that will exist even after the 30th. Regardless of your vaccine status, you have to wear a mask once you get into Canada. So you're on that train, and you're stopping in Everett, and Edmonds, and Bellingham, Mount Vernon, obviously not in that order. Although if it was in that order, boy, would that be an inefficient route. But you don't have to have your mask on. The second that you get into Canada, still on a train with the people you were previously traveling with, all of a sudden, you got to put that mask on. And please tell me that any of this makes sense and that people shouldn't feel ashamed of these silly rules that mean nothing. Is no one feeling any shame or just a little bit of embarrassment? Just a little tiny bit of embarrassment over in Canada? Ugh. Well, you do know what they say about the COVID strain in Canada, way more virulent. How it gets onto the train, I don't know, because your stop after Bellingham is Vancouver. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation, send me a text message. Don't forget, tickets to the Freedom Series online, ktth.com. Welcome back to the Jason Ranch Show on KTTH Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in on this Monday afternoon. I'll be on Tucker Carlson tonight, later this evening. If you're not able to watch it live when it airs, it's all good. You can head on over to youtube.com/Jason Rants or head on over to facebook.com/Jason Rants Show. I've made it actually much easier than that. You can text the keyword rants, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. 8770. Text RANTZ to 1-800-465-8770. We talk a lot about crime on this show. In fact, as the crime correspondent for Tucker Carlson tonight, I exclusively talk about crime with them. And actually, tonight I'm talking about a story out of Philadelphia, sort of northern Philadelphia, where there's a convenience store that's known there called Wawa. We don't have any Wawas. I think it's only in New England. But on Saturday night, about 8:15 or so, juveniles came from the nearby ice rink, because they, I guess, still have that in Philadelphia. And they decided to ransack the Wawa store. And when I say ransack, I mean ransack. This was almost a full-blown riot when you think about it. You had 100 or so kids, about 100 kids, young adults, most of them looking to be 15, 16, 17 years old, going into the store and just throwing food everywhere. Everywhere. They didn't appear to have any specific reason behind it other than maybe boredom, other than maybe a lack of family structure at home, thinking that this is okay. They just go in and they ransack the place, throwing food everywhere, destroying furniture, standing on some of it, dancing on others. And this lasts several minutes, causing thousands of dollars in damage. Staff there couldn't really do anything. You had one security guard who just kind of walked across a frame, but there was some video that was posted on social media. He wasn't doing anything. Now, in fairness to him, I don't know what he could have done, given that there were 100 kids. He was clearly outnumbered. But they just completely ransacked the place. And they left a trail of Doritos and Ho-Hos into the nearby parking lot, where they also wreaked havoc, jumping on parked cars. I mean, it is so disgusting. And what we've grown accustomed to, because this reminded me of that, remember that Los Angeles 7-Eleven that also got ransacked? In that case, at least there were some people who were covering their faces. In this one, I don't think I saw a single kid covering his or her face. Not a single one. And the reason why you do that, you ransack a building or a store without even daring to cover your face, is because you know you can get away with it. Because you know that there will be no consequences. And I can't fault them for holding that position. Larry Krasner is a George Soros-backed DA. He has decided to do what we're doing here in King County, which is pretty much say to juveniles, yeah, we're not going to put you in jail. It takes a whole heck of a lot of crime for us to even consider putting you in jail. So as long as it's not violent, don't worry. And frankly, even if it is violent, we probably still won't go all that hard on you. Because we believe in endless chances. You see, you're a victim of a white supremacy culture. And the criminal justice system is racist anyway, so we can't put you in there. You're a black teenager, and I think all of them were black, maybe Latino, some Latino. Maybe there was one whiter kid, maybe two. But for the most part, it's all black kids. Now, why is that important? Only in the sense, because normally I wouldn't think it's important. And frankly, I don't think it's important. But in this case, the reason why you know that there won't be any consequences is because people like Larry Krasner, they view criminals on the basis of their skin color, sometimes on their age and gender, but usually on their skin color. And when they see juveniles who they already don't want to put in jail, and by the way, I don't have an appetite for putting juveniles in jail, but I do think that sometimes you do have to put kids in jail. And in this case, the ones who decided to do this, they're the exact kind of kid who's going to get into more trouble moving forward. The exact kind of kid who does this will get in worse trouble, into worse crime moving forward. And maybe, just maybe, throwing some of them in jail for the night or for a weekend will do them some good, will actually get them to see the trajectory that their life is going on. Sometimes you need that. And again, my guess is the vast majority of these kids come from families who do not give a damn about them, who don't fear that their parents will judge them or punish them for this. How many of you who are listening, regardless of where it is you live, regardless of your age, your gender, your ethnicity, let's say you're listening right now in Stanwood or Linden or Chehalis. When you were 16 years old, what would have happened? What would your parents have done? How would they react if they found out you were involved in this? 99% of the people who are listening right now, live or on podcast, are thinking exactly the same thing. They would whip the ever-loving crap out of me. I would be grounded for a month, and that would be if my mom or dad go easy on me. When you don't come from a family like that, where they operate under some semblance of rules, you get something like this happening. Not in all cases, and there are certainly outliers, there's no doubt. But the data is pretty consistent on this. Across the board, regardless, again, of race or socioeconomic status, the kids who get into this kind of trouble are the ones who come from either broken homes or homes that don't spend a whole lot of time focused on the kids. This isn't just some frivolous fun, even though a lot of those kids probably thought it as that, which, again, goes to show you who's not guiding them. Did your mom or dad, again, regardless of your current age, or race, or gender, or religion, or whatever. Did your mom or dad have to sit you down and say, you should never riot? You should never ransack a 7-Eleven or a Bartels? Probably not. They probably didn't tell you that explicitly. And they probably don't tell you a lot of things explicitly. They don't say to you, okay, Kevin, my son, let's sit down and talk about why we don't want you breaking into cars and stealing radios. You don't tell them that directly, but you teach them what's right and wrong. You teach them about morality. You teach them generally about laws, but really it's about how you act and how you treat other people and how you treat each other. And when you take that completely out of a family, of a kid's life, you get this, who thinks it's acceptable. That's the only thing that I can think of when I see this kind of imagery. And by the way, there was a moment during this riot slash ransacking where a woman who I don't think was a part of the crowd, but she was going up to one of the Wawa grocery store people who I guess is behind the sandwich station. He's making sandwiches. And as this is going on and as he's filming it on his phone, she has the audacity to give him a little bit of lip, wondering whether or not he's going to make her a sandwich.
Are y'all making a sandwich?
It's going to be a little.
Are y'all making a sandwich or what? Can you believe that? Seemingly oblivious to the thing that's happening right behind her. I guess many of us have one of these kinds of people. Maybe you're that kind of person. When you're hungry and the world stops. The world pauses when you're hungry. And when you want that BLT, man, you are demanding that BLT. It doesn't matter. There could be a nuclear strike behind you, maybe in the University of Utah. We'll talk about that in the next hour. And you'll still say, yeah, I'm hungry. Make me a sandwich. The world revolves around me right now. My stomach pangs. Can't you hear it?
Oh.
You didn't hear that? Unbelievable. And of course, by the way, this is happening in a city that is seeing a huge surge in crime. Again, because it has decided to embrace the left-wing policies, progressive policies, Marxist policies in some cases, of the anti-cop crowd and the crowd that wants to dismantle the criminal justice system. Here is someone talking to NBC.
How is the city going to get any better if we're going to keep destroying it? A lot of these stores are privately owned. They're not even chains, and they're not really insured. The insurance companies right now are so booked with paying out everything they've already paid out that they can't even get to pay these guys. So they're losing out of their own pockets, and that's food from the family's mouth.
Yeah, people don't seem to worry about that. And I especially love the activists who look at something like this and say, hey, don't worry. No one got hurt. It's just property. Okay, relax. Yeah, okay. Maybe when you're a small business owner, if you're ever able to get a job outside of a part-time barista position at Starbucks, maybe if you ever had some real responsibilities and property of your own, you would maybe think about things a little bit differently. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send a text. Don't forget the Freedom Series tickets on sale right now. Have some huge guests and some special appearances that I'm not going to tell you about here on the show. You're going to have to be there in the crowd on October 12th in Renton at the Carco Theater to see it for yourself. I can say that I am very excited about some of these folks. Actually, I'm excited about all of them. Make sure you're there. Tickets are only $12. We're over half sold out. Please, please, please buy your tickets. Bring a friend. Stay solo. And yes, we'll be able to hang out. We'll do some Q&A. We'll take some photos. I'll let you look at my gorgeous hair. It's going to be a blast. I hope to see you there. Get your tickets right now at ktth.com or text the keyword freedom to 1-800-465-8770. Text freedom to 1-800-465-8770. The Jason Rand Show.